It's Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Wolforth. I probably am like a lot of cyclists in Anchorage. I know our trails pretty well, especially ones closest to home. You could probably drop me most spots on the west side of town and I could tell you where I was within a minute or two because that's where I work out on a regular basis. But these bikes can go a lot farther than that. So today we're talking about mountain biking opportunities beyond the bowl, headed north out to Eagle River, where a community group has banded together to build a brand new single track network at Mirror Lake, and onward to the Mat-Su Valleys and the backcountry. We'll also be touching base with a trail advocate to learn about joining with trail construction and maintenance so we can keep doing what we love even as the government runs out of money. There's a lot of energy in mountain biking these days, and the opportunities to enjoy trails and contribute to them has never been greater. And in the studio right now, I have a couple of guys who can talk about that enjoying and contributing, because they have actually taken upon themselves to build some new single track trails. And I know the mountain biking community, like, people are listening, they want to drop down on their knees and thank you, because we enjoy these trails so much. The group is called Tugatch Mountain Bike Riders, and Chris Wilson is the president. Thanks for being here, Chris.
Thank you.
And Adam Mugley is the vice president.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. So Chris, tell us about this new trail that you've built out there. It's like the phase one is complete, right?
Phase one was completed last year, just before the snow fell in October, and we had almost 4 miles of trails built, I believe, and they intermingle with the existing ski trails that are there currently.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So it's if you're familiar with sort of the Kincaid single track, is it kind of the same concept?
Was to create a cross-country flow trail that was friendly to beginners and intermediate riders. Uh-huh. So we wanted to just get people out there, expose single track mountain biking trails to our community, and provide a resource that was close by to our community so you didn't have to get in a car and drive 45 minutes to get to a trailhead.
Yeah. So have you guys actually gotten to ride the trails like in their finished form yet?
We have. Technically, they're still closed. We're waiting for the municipality to give us our final paperwork. But everything has been completed. The trails have been hand-finished, and signs are up, and it's ready to go.
Cool. Yeah. So, Adam, tell me about how this got started. I mean, what is the history of this project?
Me and Chris and a few other guys... I think you mentioned earlier, we were kind of tired of driving all the time.
Yeah.
to in town. Like, you know, especially in the fall when light goes fast and you want a quick ride after work.
Absolutely.
Like, from Eagle River to Kincaid is just way too much. And we were just bantering.
Especially with the traffic at that time of day, right?
Yeah. And we were just bantering on the idea of doing something in our community. And so I think it was in the winter of 2012, we just like, okay, if... we just need to start working on it because nobody else is going to. We talked to some other user groups, and it was kind of apparent that unless Eagle River residents did something, nobody was gonna, voluntarily spend a bunch of time and effort building something in our community. So,
mm-hmm.
We just started with lots of meetings, and we started meeting with the community councils and Parks and Rec, and we kind of identified the Mirror Lake spot as kind of the ideal spot in Eagle River, and it's on Parks and Rec land, so
mm-hmm.
it worked out pretty well so far.
So did you find that people were pretty much behind you, or did they run into any resistance, or is it like, I mean, everybody, I feel like people pretty much support folks who want to go out and improve the parks, right?
That's what we found in a lot of the community council meetings mm-hmm. that we did, that a lot of the residents were more than thrilled, and the trails out there, I don't know if you've ever been out there, they don't get used a lot.
It's been a while.
I mean, they're,
I've been more in Birch Hill ski trails than Mirror Lake.
These are the trails that are right on the east side of the road, and uh-huh. between Mirror Lake and Edmonds Lake, kind of where the Boy Scout camp is back there. And the trails are really, they're kind of muddy in the summertime, mm-hmm. and they're really steep to ski in the wintertime, so not many people use them. And so I think the local community councils out there were just excited that people wanted to actually use them for something, because uh-huh. there's just a lot of land that's just sitting there.
Wow.
So
how did that park come to be in those original trails?
I think
you want to jump in on that, Chris?
Yeah, well, I don't remember who took the bulldozer out, but someone in the old days of the Nordic Sea Club in Eagle River had the idea to just put some trails in there, and I think they just took a cat and started mowing down trees. So the park's been around, the ski trails have been around for a long time. But yes, as Adam said, they're really underused.
I don't hear a lot of it. Yeah, you always hear about like what the conditions are like at Birch Hill. Even that's like below sort of Kincaid and Hillside. And then, oh, Birch Hill, it's kind of afterthought, and they have some races.
Beach Lake.
Yeah, Beach Lake. Birch Hill is in Fairbanks, right?
Yes.
North is all the same to me, right?
Right. That's even more of a 45, Fairbanks, more than a 45 minute.
Wasilla, it's all, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. Every time I said Birch Hill, now go back and change that to Beach Lake. But so the Beach Lake trails are, and they're pretty nicely groomed and stuff, but right. But these trails you're talking about weren't being used much.
Yeah, and you know, I guess one of the big things it was we wanted to, fat biking was becoming really popular, you know, and to ride a bike, ride a fat tire bike in the wintertime in Eagle River, excuse me, you only had one choice, which was really to ride up and down the river. There were some little community trails and social trails around, but nothing of great length or challenge. So, you know, the problem was is that people were starting to ride on these dog mushing trails and the ski trails, the groomed ski trails at Beach Lake. And so we needed an outlet, and it was just really amazing how supportive Parks and Rec has been and the community councils when we started to introduce this idea of ours.
Yeah. Now, is there like a separate park district up there and like a different, no, it's all the same as the Anchorage
one? Well, Eagle River has its own board of supervisors.
Okay.
Yeah. But so it's still under the same
municipality of Anchorage.
Yeah, it's all part of the city, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So building single track trails is not as easy as you might think. I've had the founders of the Kincaid Trails in, and they talked about how, well, we kind of started, and then we realized, wow, this is actually going to be pretty hard, and it's going to take money, and it's going to take equipment. So what was step one in actually, I guess step one is like design, right? Figuring out where they're going to be and stuff?
Well, step one for us was getting enough support.
Right.
First,
you got to figure out how much support you need, right?
Yeah, because we were kind of in limbo for a really long time because, you know, our group, we didn't have any money. We weren't to get a lot of grants, and for people to actually give you money, you have to be a legitimate group. Right. And if you're
can't just be some guys,
right. It can't be just some guys. And if the Muni is like, well, they're not sure about they're going to allow you to build trails. Well, nobody's going to give you money.
Right.
So we were in this really
chicken and the egg problem
for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And finally we had enough local support that Parks and Rec was like, okay, you know, we'll give you the formal go ahead to design something or we kind of had the initial design laid out at that point. But this is, I mean, that was a year and a half, a couple years maybe. Of work.
A lot of the money came, the initial money, seed money came out of our own pockets. And
of course,
we're all volunteer and we have full-time jobs. So,
do you know anything about designing trails? It seems like that would be.
We hooked up with Tarmangan Trails and Eddie Kessler.
Okay.
And he was very generous with his time as well to walk the woods with us and lay out the trails and then put it onto a PDF file basically that we could present to the Muni and to the community councils. And then once we received letters of support and resolution from the community councils, then Parks and Rec said, okay, you guys can proceed.
One step at a time.
Yeah. But we know nothing about designing trails.
Right.
Yeah.
And we kind of know nothing about running a mountain bike group, but we're making it work. So.
Right. Yeah. Well, I guess there aren't too many people who do know that stuff. Did Alaska Trails have a role here, and Steve Cleary, those guys?
So that was our bank, basically. It's what gave us the legitimacy to basically take money from people, take donations, and put it in a not-for-profit.
I got you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And Steve helped out with our first big grant, Steve Cleary from Alaska Trails. Yes. That was our first big, that's really what made our phase one possible, was that the grant that he secured. So
cool.
He's been great.
We're going to have Steve on later on in the show, and they're having a big conference that's coming up. So learn more about Alaska Trails and what they're up to. We're talking about mountain biking out of town. I guess to me, Eagle River's out of town. Like I'm very parochial in my little area. But we're going to talk about the biking out in the valley and the backcountry. And right now we're talking about Eagle River and the new trails that have just been constructed at Mirror Lake. If you've ridden on them, you're breaking the rules because they're not open yet. But very, very soon they're going to be open. And you can thank these two guys who are in the studio right now for making that happen. Chris Wilson and Ed Mugley are the president and vice president of Chugach Mountain Bike Riders. What kind of equipment does it take to build a single track trail? I mean, I suppose you could do it with a pick and shovel, but that would take forever, right? So how do you go about building the trail once you've got the plan? Who wants to take that one, Chris?
You start with a very small excavator, and you clear off all the overburden, following a GPS track that you flagged out, and just start going through the woods. The idea with our trails was to try to, in that area, was to try to keep as much of the natural setting as possible. So we actually took out very few trees because we wanted to create that experience of just riding through the boreal forest and having more open sight lines and things like that. Once the mini excavator went through, then there was another machine that basically shaped the trail completed it to about 80%, and then the rest of the work was done by hand.
Which is creating like a nice smooth packed surface?
Yeah. We go out there with tampers and you know, there was a lot of small twigs and things and branches that we'd have to like lop and cut and rakes to kind of smooth out the trail surface. And so we had a lot of volunteer work this last fall, late summer, early into late fall, we got a lot of volunteers out.
Yeah, I was quite impressed with the number of people who would show up to help us out. On average, we had about 20 people each night, and one night a week until the snow fell, we were out there hand tooling the trail.
Was it like your personal network of friends, or like people that just found out about it because they love biking, or what?
It was a lot of both. We had a Facebook page, and so we had a lot of people find us that way, and a lot of just kind of word of mouth sort of spread, and we had a lot of Anchorage residents. It wasn't just Eagle River folks. So a lot of people we got a lot of, you know, couple timers that would show up, you know, and from Anchorage, and so it was really nice to see.
And this is sort of an after work deal where they work for a couple hours.
Yep.
That actually sounds pretty fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Then some of the local businesses like Eagle River Ale House would come out and bring us pizza. And
nice.
It was quite enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a cool little community out there. So I'm curious, you mentioned the sight lines and the difficulty level. I'm curious as to things you might have learned from previous single track that's been built in Anchorage. You know, there's been Kincaid, I love the trails, I use them all the time, but there's a couple of issues there. One is there's some areas with not much sight line and you can really come on a moose really rapidly. Mm-hmm. And then there's some other trails that are pretty expert in terms of skill level, and they've had to kind of have come up with some creative ways to signal that so people don't get hurt. Now, did you guys think about that, and how did you address that?
Yes, that was involved in the discussions with the Muni very early on. And that was very purposeful in our design, was to try to create the trail that was not so technical. We wanted, at least in this first phase of trails, to create an experience from a trail that people can experience from a young age, you know, 7, 8 years old. If you could get on a bike and ride, we wanted to provide an opportunity to be able to do that in the woods to someone who's maybe a little bit more advanced, who can just enjoy a fast, challenging physical ride. But we definitely weren't going to build big features and jumps and create a situation where it would need more expert skills.
So that was guidance that was coming to you from Parks and Rec?
Yes.
How do you feel about that, Adam?
Yeah, it came from Parks and Rec, but it was also, you know, it's really the first purpose-built mountain bike trail in Eagle River. And, you know, we're about our community. So it's like, if we can get kids out there,
yeah,
like, you you know, more kids and more parents and more people to use them, you know, then that means like people are more likely to donate to us and, and support us more, as opposed to you build first shot out, you build some big gnarly thing that most people can't ride or don't want to ride. So it just made a lot of sense just for our community just to do it that way. So
So have you, I take it you have written it because you are the builders, and I'm just imagining after all this time, after all this effort, like your first time getting on the bike and actually riding it must be pretty exciting.
It was very exciting.
I think we rode it one time and during the building process, and it just kind of ended up to be me and Chris, and we stopped partway on this hill, and it's really beautiful. It kind of overlooks Edmonds Lake,
nice.
And we looked at each other like, wow. We actually got it built, and we gave each other a high five, and it was just like,
can't believe it.
Yeah, we kind of sat there, like, kind of dumbfounded, like, how did this happen?
Yeah,
it was pretty gratifying.
It's amazing what you can get done with a good team of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when people have a genuine interest and enthusiasm in what you're doing, it just comes together.
Yeah.
So when I create something as a writing or something like that, then I go back and look at it later. I was like, oh, I wish I'd done that differently. Did you hit any of those things where you think, wow, this part is perfect? And then you think, oh, wow, why did we take this way?
Yes.
I'm sure we're going to find more of those. You know, it snowed on us. And this summer is going to be the real, like, truth teller to see if everything, you know, when we can ride a lot of the loops and we're not doing construction. I mean, it's funny, you'll ride it like, we've been riding it, and then it's like, oh, you'll stop and, you know, chop some twigs, and like you're still in the mindset of not just riding it. You're like, oh, how can I improve it? So maybe this summer it'll be just a pure ride. So
if you ever get there, one of the things that I don't think people realize in building a trail is you have to not only think about like how fun is it to ride and what the grades are, but also stuff like drainage, you know, and making sure that it doesn't turn into a mud hole. And, you know, like you're talking about the sight lines and the views and all that stuff. It's actually, there's a lot that goes into it.
There's quite a bit of technical design into it because we want to create a sustainable trail that's going to last for years and years and years. And we're not going to have to spend hours and hours doing maintenance on it. So that's where working with Ptarmigan Trails really came into play. And, you know,
so that's actually a trail building company?
It is. And part of our mission, I guess you could say, was to educate the volunteers on how to construct a trail that that would drain properly and would be a long-lasting trail. And so that was always in the design and construction process of making sure that the back slopes are correct and the drainage was proper and maintaining that through the hand tooling and finish work.
So now I have to ask about the names because I know that the single track advocates, a couple of the pioneers there, Janice and Lee, kind of ended up naming the trails after themselves, which I thought was cool. Do you guys do that?
Well, we haven't quite entered that discussion yet.
The trails aren't officially named yet.
Right.
So
we have some ideas behind that. We'd like to have some big sponsors, and you know, with that big donation, would be potentially naming
Conoco
a trail.
Phillips Trail or something like that.
Well, maybe. Maybe not. Now, they're just colors.
So. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Yeah. And there's a phase two. What's the phase two going to be?
More trails. Another, you know, hopefully 3 miles, 4 miles, depending on how much money we can raise. Mm-hmm.
And how much do you have now? I mean, in terms of mileage.
It's about 4. Nice. Depends on how you measure it. Uh-huh. But the cool thing is that we built these loops off the ski trails, so you can do multiple loops, and if you're connecting the current ski trails there, which are a small, narrow ski trail for
they're like classic skiing,
more of a classic, yes.
Okay,
they're technically ski drawing trails.
Oh, really?
Right. Yeah, so that's what they're never groomed. They used to be probably like 10 years ago, but they're never groomed. There's a lot of walkers and classic skiers, but skating is impossible on them.
But you can hook up a lot of miles just by doing multiple loops.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Well, we've got about 5 minutes left. We've been talking about the new single-track trails in Mirror Lake with the builders and masterminds behind it, Chris Wilson and Adam Mugley from Chugach Mountain Bike Riders. And I just, in these minutes we have left, I want to get some insight from guys who lived in Eagle River and are obviously avid mountain bikers, aside from the new trail, like, where would you guys go? You mentioned, like, driving into town. Would you ride in the state park at all? Or what sort of, what are the best places to go from Eagle River?
I think both of us would go out to Kvass Moraine a lot. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty common...
And where's that located?
Right out in Palmer.
I think it's mm-hmm. now, yeah, Matanuska Lakes. State Park.
Oh, they call, is it, right, it was called, it's had various names, I think.
Right. It used to be called a Kvass, well, I'm not too sure myself, but yeah. It, the traditional name, or the accepted name now is Matanuska Lake State Park.
And it's, and you're going to find it when you're going out the Glen Highway and you've just come off the parks and you're headed for Palmer. It's correct. On the left yep. before you get to the fairgrounds.
That's yep. correct.
Yeah, and so yeah. it's pretty obvious. Yeah. Yeah. What are the trails like out there?
They're older. There's some newer single track in there mm-hmm. that they've put in, and some older, nice, flowy stuff. And it's a big mix. You can ride on the university. There's some university land of mm-hmm. Fairbanks, so you can, you know, have some gravel road and or old single track or
and
some
double
new stuff.
Track.
And yeah,
it's beautiful. You know, it opens up to some big hay fields, and you get these amazing views of the mountains, Pioneer Peak, Matanuska mm-hmm. Peak, and then you'll get into a rooty little single track and. It is quite mixed though, but it's a great area, especially early spring when it dries out much quicker than the trails on the hillside uh-huh. and such.
And I think one of the reasons I like it a lot compared to going into town like Kincaid, and I think which is also going to be nice for our single track, is there's not that many moose. You never run into moose. Like Kincaid, right. you're always, you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
You know, it's how many moose you run into, but right. like out at the Mirror Lake and out at Matanuska Lakes, there never seem to be that many moose. Mm-hmm. So it's a good option for people with dogs and
right.
kids and stuff like that.
So. What about right near Eagle River? Is there like Upper Eagle River Valley, like on that trail, or is there anything just
there's,
right in
there's
the area?
Some trails over on the south side of Briggs Bridge. They kind of move around through some homestead land and things like that. In the summer, there's more riding in there in the wintertime than yeah. there is in the summertime.
Yeah. In the wintertime, there's that, and you can go on the river, and you can ride some single track up to there's a waterfall, and there's a lot of good single track on that sort of hillside. But in the summertime, it gets pretty swampy uh-huh. and pretty muddy, and there's not a lot in Eagle River.
Yeah, you really
exactly
got
right.
I can see
there's,
the problem, yeah. So just give me the location of what you were just talking about, because I'm Briggs Bridge. I don't know exactly
so
where
So Eagle
is.
River Loop Road yeah, okay. Crosses over Briggs Bridge.
Oh, that's that newer bridge that's near the Walmart?
Yeah.
That's
okay.
correct.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So is there a trailhead there, or is it sort of just casual?
There is a trailhead just down that gravel road. There's a state parks trailhead, uh-huh. and then there's a main old trail right there. It's old, you know. I think it's Old Homestead Trail, and there's you can just poke around and find a lot of stuff kind of in there, yeah. especially in the wintertime.
Yeah, but it sounds like a lot of times you guys are throwing your bike on the car and going somewhere else.
Yeah,
but not anymore.
Not anymore.
Now we're working on them.
That's right. That's great. Well, yeah. How much time did you end up? Did you find that building this trail took away all your riding time?
Oh, it wasn't too bad, actually.
No,
we got started late, and uh-huh. we actually got started almost 6 months sooner than we had planned. So it all happened very fast. It was multiple weekends, but
basically last fall.
Happened throughout the entire fall. So. You know, after you get done building trails, you go for a little ride because you got to test ride what you just
yeah.
built. So
there you go.
It was.
So this sounds like quite a, I mean, kind of a life accomplishment that must, I mean, like, how do you follow up on this? Because this is something people are going to be using for
phase
the next
two.
50 years.
Yeah. We need phase two to start. Yeah. There's so much potential in that area.
Yeah.
And it's such a unique area because it has rock features and then you have the forest and these natural rises and falls mm-hmm. and little moraines. And it's just a beautiful spot.
And lakes. It's really
sounds
quite
gorgeous.
Different compared to Kincaid and compared to Hillside.
I can't wait to try it out. You know, I think that we're actually becoming a real mountain biking center. I mean, we're getting we have some really exceptional trails here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. Well, thank you, guys. I want to thank you on behalf of all the riders in Anchorage, because I think when we ride these volunteer-built trails, there's just a sense of appreciation that somebody actually put in the work to do this, and so many people are going to get so much pleasure out of this. So it's really our gratitude to you guys.
Well, it's our pleasure as well. So yeah. Thank
cool.
you.
Chris Wilson and Adam Mugley from Tugach Mountain Bike Riders, they actually got together, went out and did all the work, went out all the meetings, raised the money, got out there with picks and shovels, and now we have new trails at Mirror Lake. So very cool. Stay with us. We're going to keep talking about the different opportunities for mountain biking beyond the bowl as Outdoor Explorer continues.
You're listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. Find the show anytime as a free podcast in the iTunes Store or connect with us online at alaskapublic.org.
It's Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Wolforth, and we are talking today about mountain biking and trails. And there's a group here in Alaska that is focused on building trails, helping us use trails, just everything about trails. And since we are sort of a trail sport state, this is a very appropriate group to have in existence here. It's called Alaska Trails. And Steve Clear is the executive director, and he's in the studio with me right now. And a lot to talk about. And just briefly, until we get back to our main topic of mountain biking, about trails and what you can do, how you can learn more about being involved. Thanks for being here, Steve.
Thanks for having me.
So you worked with the folks who are getting started on the having a single track in Eagle River, Mirror Lake area.
Yeah, it was a real exciting project for us. We helped write a Rec Trails grant for the Tugach Mountain Bike Riders, and then helped out with our tool trailer. And a couple times every week this past summer, they would turn out 20 to 30 volunteers to help finish up the single track trails out there, which are beautiful, and it's an amazing area, and really happy to be part of that project.
Yeah, I can't wait to get out there and try it. So you have a tool trailer, you have know-how, you're sort of a backup, you're sort of a support agency for people who care about trails.
That's right. Yep. And we have that that tool trailer. We also do trainings, and we do a conference every year. We really try to be the networker for trail groups around the state, so everybody can learn from one another and share things that work well.
So it sounds like people who want to get involved in trail building and trail maintenance and contributing back to what we all use, this conference is coming up is really a good opportunity to connect and to find out who else is doing that and get some training and be involved. And I guess it's coming up on the 20th to the 22nd of April. Tell us about the conference.
Yeah, so we have a conference every year to try to get trail advocates, land managers, and trail professionals from all over the state together. It's a great way, again, to share information. We typically bring up experts from outside and around the state to share knowledge on kind of the nuts and bolts, also funding. And we also like to highlight the economic and health benefits of trails and their importance to our communities. And new this year, on the Saturday, April 22nd of the conference, it will be free for volunteers. So we want to use it as a base of recruiting and training volunteers that day to work on various volunteer projects throughout the summer.
So what kind of training does a volunteer need? I mean, on the face of it, you think, well, I'm just going to go out with a clipper and cut some brush.
Sure.
But there's more to it than that, right?
There certainly is. And that would be the most basic level, and brushing is very important. But typically what we did last summer in Tugach State Park with a pilot project for our volunteer program was to relocate a trail, reroute a trail. And so we were both cutting out a new trail with either a Pulaski, a shovel, or a McLeod. So learning how to use those tools.
What's a Pulaski? I don't know.
Wildland firefighting equipment. So one side is an adze, and then the other side looks like a typical axe. And so what we were doing last summer was using those to cut out pieces of sod, and then we would take them from the old trail, or from the new trail, excuse me, to make that tread good, and then we used it to cover up the old trail to reroute a section of the Middle Fork trail. So it was a great way to reuse the materials. And then with McLeod, which is a big trail rake, you can smooth out the trail and tamp it down. And so there's some basic things, but the main thing we want to teach the volunteers is safety. So the land managers, us, and the volunteers all want to do these jobs safely, and so that's going to be a big part of the training as well. But the volunteer project last summer really showed that a group of trained volunteers can really have a good and lasting impact on trails.
That's cool. And that trail really needed it.
Yeah.
Probably still needs more.
Still too. Does. Yeah. We'll be up there again this summer.
Okay. So are you sort of developing a cadre, your own little shock force of volunteers that can go out and do projects? Or is that sort of the goal that you'll have?
That is definitely the goal. And we're expanding to other land managers besides Chugach State Park. And that's been, as I said, a good example of proving the value of volunteers. And now we'll be working with BLM and hope to set up some projects with the Forest Service down in Chugach National Forest as well, and other partners as we engage with them.
Neat. Give us a sort of the quick overview of sort of what else folks could learn at the 3-day trail conference on April 20th to 22nd.
Sure. There's going to be a lot of specifics about trail design and layout, how to do turns, mechanized trail building, ATV trails. There will be a specific session on the Mirror Lake trails with the land managers and with the builders to show the lessons learned there for other folks who want to do a similar project. On Friday, we're having an active transportation track where there will be sessions on walkability, the health benefits of trails, and a keynote on trail-oriented
active transportation, getting around town, basically.
Yep, getting around and linking trails to the transportation network via foot or bike, and trying to make it all one network so that people can get where they want to go when they want to go.
Right. So that's how you get in shape to go out of town on the weekend.
Exactly. Yeah. That's it. Yep. And come maintain some trails while you do it.
Right.
Yep.
So before we started, we were talking a little bit about some more ambitious or farther out projects like the Johnson Pass Trail, which I've never biked it, but it sounds like it's probably a really good bike route. It's not super steep, right?
Right. No, it's a very fun one. And what we were talking about was that by July, it gets really overgrown and really needs to be brushed. But that's quite a big project. And so we're in the initial stages of working with the Forest Service on ascertaining whether volunteers could do that. And what we really hope to do is have a Saturday where the volunteers get to come and brush it all out, camp out that night, and then bike it on Sunday after it's been brushed out.
So it'd be kind of a fun group activity.
Yeah. Yep. That's what we're hoping. And so we're trying to build those into the volunteer projects if we can.
Yeah. So how many people do you need for something like that to get a critical mass where you actually get out and do a project? It's a beauty of volunteers. If you have a lot of people, you can get a big project done quickly,
sure.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, and it's different for every project. Up on the Middle Fork one, we were kind of working on the 20 to 25 because people could really spread out. Probably for one down on the Forest Service land, probably more in the 10 to 12 region. But there'll be lots of different projects. And then if there's more people, some people can take a bike ride that day or take a break and many hands make little work.
Right, right. So do you find that they're pretty easy to recruit? Or, are a lot of people enthusiastic about going and doing this work?
They are, yeah. I was pleasantly surprised about that. You would think your average trail user on a sunny Saturday would like to be out riding or hiking or using the trail in some manner. But it's been great to see how people want to give back, and they really feel a sense of accomplishment. And now all those folks that worked last summer on the Middle Fork Trail will be able to come out this summer and see how their work has blended in and the great achievements that they made.
Yeah, it's neat. Well, you're out there for a workout anyway, and this adds a social aspect.
Yeah.
A positive aspect
yep.
to it.
And it's very fun. People really enjoy the social aspect of it, and that's why we're trying to weave in more of those potentially overnights or meeting up afterwards as well.
Cool. Fun. Well, Steve Cleary is the Executive Director of Alaska Trails. As you heard, his conference is coming up April 20th to 22nd. And thanks for coming in, Steve. It sounds like things are really rolling along for your organization.
I appreciate it. Yeah, we're doing great, and we hope to see lots of folks at the conference.
All right. Well, stick with us as Outdoor Explorer continues talking about mountain biking. Welcome back. It's Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Woolforth, and today we are talking about mountain biking beyond the bowl. That is like, let's get out of town, out of our usual patterns here in the Anchorage area. And I'm like totally guilty of this, of just cycling the same trails over and over again. I love them, but there's other options out there. So we were talking about Eagle River. Now we're going to go even farther out, even out to that distant horizon of the Mat-Su. And then we're also going to talk about some backcountry stuff. And for this section of the show, I have a couple of representatives from the Valley Mountain Bikers and Hikers, which is a nonprofit club out in the valley working on trails, advocating for trails. Phil Block,
hi.
Welcome. And Cody Johnson. Hello. Thanks for being here. So, Phil, there's obviously a lot of opportunities in the Valley. I mean, it's a huge, huge place, and they don't all have to be formal. But you've also built some actual single track trails, and I guess you've got some fairly new ones out at Government Peak near Hatcher Pass.
Yes. Yeah, we have nearly 8 miles of pretty much brand new single track trail up at Government Peak Recreation Area. Pardon me. Which, if you had head north towards Hatcher Pass and turn onto, you turn just before it goes up to Hatcher Pass. You'll run into it. It's pretty much there's three sets of trails there. One set is really built for new cyclists or newer mountain bikers. The other one is for a little bit more advanced. And then our newest one is for the most advanced riders or the most advanced trail that we have out there.
So fairly technical with some jumps and stuff like that?
Fairly technical, some nice jumps, some nice bermed corners, really fast descent, pretty challenging climbs the way around, which is really kind of the cool part about those trails is no matter which way you go in on them, your first half is always going to be a climb, and then you have a nice descent coming back down.
Yeah. So, and these are sort of club constructed and design trails, or how did that come about?
Yes, so they started kind of as an offshoot of the just the general GPRA trail plan. So
government,
the ski club,
the government GPR, Government Peak
Recreation Area.
There you go.
Yep. So the Matsu Ski Club has put in tons of really great ski trails.
Right, and they got
there.
The money for that road and for that, like, this,
and the chalet.
It's pretty sweet.
Yes, yes. It's a beautiful facility, and there was the opportunity for us as Valley Mountain bikers and hikers to come in and using federal grant money, some local grant money, build trails to get more users out there. So the trails are built or designed as mountain bike trails, but they are multi-use. So if you want to run on them, you can. If you want to hike on them, you can. You just ask that you watch for those darn cyclists, right?
Yeah.
So it was really just kind of a partnership with the borough, with the Matsu Ski Club,
a lot of volunteer work out there?
A lot of volunteer work. I'm trying to think of how many hours we put in last year alone. It was quite significant, yes. We bring in all of as many VIMBA volunteers as we can. Pretty much all of the board members go out and work as much as they can. We have a few guys who are retired or semi-retired that put in darn near 40 hours a week helping us keep the trails
that's
up to
so
date.
Cool. So it's really exciting to see all that's happening, with the single track advocates in Anchorage have built these great trails. And then I was talking to Chris and Adam from Chugach Mountain Bike Riders who've built the new Mirror Lake trails. You've built these trails. It's just exploding, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
and 90 like largely volunteer and just community work. It's not like some government thing has come in to do this.
Yeah, no, I think it's there's just a growing community of people who want to cycle, want to get out into the woods on their bikes, and want to do so in a way that is maintainable and sustainable. That's one of the things that all of these groups are really interested in is making sure that any trails that we do build aren't going to harm the environment, aren't going to, wash away each spring when we've got breakup. And then, of course, now with, the winter biking, we want to make sure that the trails are good for winter biking as well.
It's just an incredible growth that the sport has seen. Mm-hmm. So, Cody, obviously before this new trail was built, you were already, had a lot of trails out there. Let's, go through some of the other options and things that have been around for a while.
Yeah, there's just a lot of great options in the valley, and the Government Peak Recreation Area, GPRA, is one of the flagship trail systems, but we also have an incredible network in Crevasse Moraine. It's called Kepler-Bradley if you come in from the other side, from the Matanuska Lakes area.
But we were talking about how it seems to have a lot of different names.
It does, depending on who you are and maybe how far back you go in the valley. It can really have different names.
But it's basically there on the left side as you head up the glen towards Palmer from the Parks Highway intersection.
Exactly. Yeah. And then there's another access point off of the Palmer-Wasilla Highway.
Oh, okay.
And that gets you more into the area that's known more as the Crevasse Moraine Trail.
Oh, got you.
And just a phenomenal network of bike trails. And as Phil said, there are some trails that are designated and designed for biking, but they're all multi-use. And so it's just a great place to go out and recreate. And it's also a fantastic place because there's just a range of levels. If you're a beginner, you're just wanting to get into mountain biking, there's trails that can accommodate that. If you want to ride more advanced, fast, technical stuff, there's trails out there for you as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have another area at the Mat River Park that's has a little pump track, kind of skills for technical riding, and a short little loop that goes around that area as well.
Okay, and where is that one located? Where's the trailhead?
If you're coming into Palmer from the Old Glen Highway, it's just immediately on your right as you're coming into town. Or I guess,
okay.
If you're leaving Palmer on the Old Glen Highway heading towards the Butte.
For those of us who only know how to get to the State Fair and back, we'd have to reach out a tiny bit farther.
Yeah, but not that much farther. Everything yeah. is pretty accessible uh-huh. once you're out in the valley, and there's a lot of options.
Mm-hmm. So I'm interested in... just to share the differences between Mat-Su mountain biking lifestyle and Anchorage mountain biking lifestyle, because the distances are so large out there, right? I mean, the borough is like the size of a state. Mm-hmm. Do you guys find you're normally like throwing the bike on a car and driving to a trail, or mm-hmm. or are you able to ride right from your house, or how does that work for you guys?
I'm fortunate in that where I live is. It's exactly 2 miles from my house to Mat-Su College, mm-hmm. where I get on the bike trails there. And then I can ride both the Matanuska Lake as well as the Crevasse Moraine trails. So during the summer, during the nice months, so that's normally what I do because I'm
nice.
Not a big fan of driving to mm-hmm. Bike trails. I'll also ride my bike occasionally up to GPRA and then ride those trails, but that makes for a long day.
Yeah.
But yeah, in the wintertime, it's, yeah, throw your bike in the back of your truck, in the back of your car, and go someplace. Yeah.
And for me, it's just the opposite.
All right.
I live down the Kinnick River Valley off Kinnick River Road. Mm-hmm. And so in the wintertime, my wife and I bike from our house out to the Kinnick Glacier. And once the trails are packed in, it's just phenomenal. We've had a great winter for that.
Is a trail right on the river then, or how does that work?
There's a trail that follows the north side of the river and the south side of the river, and... both will get you out to the glacier. They're fantastic rides. The trail on the south side is a little bit shorter, has less motor traffic on it, which is very nice if
yeah,
you're on a
right.
bike.
Right.
The trick from the south side is that the main channel of the Kinnick has to be frozen. And in the last two winters, we haven't really had that. So this winter,
oh, wow.
with the cold temperatures,
yeah.
we had the main channel freeze up, and it's been just fantastic riding.
Yeah. You guys were talking about some river riding before we started. And, the Fat Tire bikes open up so much terrain. In Anchorage, I often, no insult to Fat Tire bikes, but I pass them on the coastal trail on my skis because the snow is pretty hard, and you don't really need a Fat Tire bike in that, you know. But if you're out on a river and out in the wilderness, I think you really do. Tell us a little bit about that. What kind of trips do you do much river riding, Phil?
I do. I've been spending a lot of time on the Kinnick River recently, just because, again, the conditions are so great for it. Another one that I like to do is just put in right at Matanuska River, right on the edge of Palmer, and ride kind of south and back towards the Hay Flats or back towards the Glen Highway, riding along that river bottom. Yeah, or any of the lakes up in the Willow area, head out from Willow Lake onto the Iditarod Trail and all that chain of lakes back mm-hmm. there. In most conditions, it does get rather hard. You probably don't absolutely need a Fat Tire bike, but it makes it
a little easier
when you do
yeah.
hit that soft spot.
You'd be a lot happier.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're not even on a Fat Tire, you're not going to like ride through deep powder, but you
right.
can jump on a snow machine trail that, that on a
exactly.
regular mountain bike is not going to be fun at all.
Yep. You're just going to sink in. So, yeah. Yeah.
And it sounds like you do the Kinnick, Cody. Any other rivers that you enjoy riding? I know you've done some big backcountry trips.
Yeah, absolutely. The Kinnick River is right out our front door, so we ride that all the time. As Phil was saying, up in Willow, there's an enormous amount of trails up there that the community grooms, but you have great access for the Susitna River right there. And you can get on the Susitna, you can take it to the Yentna River, out to the Squentna, and it's as far as you want to go at that point.
Wow.
Yeah, you can go all the way to Nome if you want to. And it's just an amazing resource that we have right in the valley. And it's pretty fantastic when you realize the valley is so big and you're in the Mat-Su and you can ride these rivers, you can ride for days and really get out into some spots that very few people get to see.
Well, let's jump into that topic then. When you set up for like a multi-day winter trip, you're kind of setting up for fairly gnarly winter camping trip, right? And you've got, you know, and you're carrying your gear on your bike. So there's a couple of different variables there that make it challenging and interesting, I would think, putting together one of those trips.
Yeah, absolutely. And you always hope for great trail conditions and wonderful weather, but you really have to be prepared for pushing your bike in very cold temperatures. And we see both every winter. And it, what's great about the resources down the river is there are quite a few roadhouses, there's river lodges, and there are opportunities to stay indoors if you don't want to camp. And so that can help lighten the load that you're carrying on your bike, but always good to have survival gear, because a trail that can be a day ride with hard-packed trails and nice weather can be multi-days of pushing if the trail isn't in good shape. But my wife and I love to do multi-day trips, and we try to head out the Yentna River, the Squentna River, as much as we can. There's great lodges, and you can camp or you can bivvy off the side of the trail pretty easily as well.
So those lodges are open year-round, and you can just count on them being available. Wow.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Yentna Roadhouse is a great place to stay. The Squentna Roadhouse is another place, Shell Lake Lodge. If you keep going farther, there's Winter Lake Lodge, there's Rainy Pass Lodge.
This is sort of Iditarod Trail. Yeah,
exactly. It follows the Iditarod Trail, but there's many other lodges that are off the river system as well that are open year-round and accessible. They see a lot of snow machine traffic, but they're very accessible with bikes, and it's just a absolutely fantastic experience to load up for multi-days on your bike, get your gear positioned, get the weight where you want it, and you just go out for a bike ride. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful.
It sounds like you've got the right partner, and you're saying before we started that your wife won a pretty amazing competition this year.
She did.
And what's her name?
Her name is Amy Breen, and she won the women's race on the Iditarod Trail Invitational from Knik Lake to McGrath, the 350-mile race. And it was an impressive accomplishment. This year especially, we really hit some hard weather crossing the Alaska Range, and we had temperatures between minus 30 and minus 40 with sustained winds around 30 miles an hour. And it was really challenging to move forward to cross the Alaska Range, especially with the Iditarod sled dog race moving to Fairbanks. There wasn't as much of a trail crew out this year. And she just kept pushing through and was the first woman to finish the race.
Quite an amazing accomplishment. And, you know, I don't want to get sidetracked into just thinking about, wow, that is so hardcore, right? Because I know a lot of our listeners would probably think, well, I would never do that. But, I mean, you got to do something, you got to get started, right? And how would you get started if you were going to talk to somebody about, like, hey, I want to do a winter biking trip, I want to camp out? What would be this step one?
I think really the first step is just to get out and get a feel for the bike and get a feel for the trails. Really know your bike, know your gear, and know the trails. And that's the first step, especially when you're out in the backcountry and resources are a bit more hard to come by. You want to make sure that you really understand what you're working with and that you're not learning how to set up a tent when it's cold and it's windy in the backcountry. So I think the first step is always going to be know your bike, know your gear.
Do the all-day trip before you do the overnight trip.
And the way my wife and I got started was doing some of the races that we have. Our first winter bike race was the Little Sioux in...
The 100 mile.
The Little Sioux is actually a 50K.
Oh, okay.
And that was a great introductory race. It's a distance that was less daunting looking at it. Not 100 miles, 50K, so about 30 miles. There's a lot of great support, and it gets you around people that do this a lot.
Right.
And so talking to people that do this quite a bit, the bike shop in Palmer has a mechanic who's a veteran of many of these multi-day races as well. And I would say a great way to start is to go into your local bike shop and talk to them, and they'll have some veteran racers, from veteran backcountry people who can answer a lot of questions.
Cool. Hey, it's Outdoor Explorer. We're talking about mountain biking outside of the Anchorage Bowl, this huge state we have to mountain bike in. And I've got a couple of guests who are involved with the Valley mountain bikers and hikers, and know all about biking the Valley. And as you've heard, biking the winter, doing multi-day trips. Cody Johnson, we were just hearing from, and Phil Block is also with me. And my name is Charles Wolforth. Phil, I know you're a family man, and you probably bike a lot with your kids, and your club also has sort of a kids organization. I mean, any tips for introducing kids to mountain biking? I mean, in a sense, like once a kid knows how to ride the bike, they want to try everything, right? On the other hand, there is like, you can mess up, you could fall off a mountain bike and hurt yourself. I've fallen off mine like countless times.
Yeah, as we all have. I think the great thing about kids and mountain biking and kids and bikes in general is just that, once they get the balance thing down, they just want to go. Mm-hmm. And so really, I think, our job.
You don't have to talk them into it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's, finding rides for them that aren't going to test their skills too much. If you have a new rider, you're not going to want to take them onto single track with jumps that they can't go around, those sorts of things, the challenges that then discourage them. Mm-hmm. But I think the bigger thing is just knowing the appropriate amount of time to go riding, right? Like Cody or myself, I mean, I'll go out for a 20-mile ride and it's nothing. But if I would try and get a young kid to do that, obviously about 2 miles in, they're going to start, not enjoying themselves.
Yeah. You're teaching them not to enjoy the sport.
Right, right. Yeah. So you want to make sure that when they get done with the ride, they want to do more, mm-hmm. which I think is what Spraw Kids really does.
Is your kids organization or program.
It's much like Mighty Bikes here in town. Mm-hmm. And so we meet, it's an hour and a half a week on Mondays, and then Wednesdays is an optional night. I think we had 80 riders last year.
Wow.
And so we start them all in at the Matsu Lakes area, identify what skill levels they're at, take them out, coach specific skills, things from how to shift, how to brake, how to climb hills, which is probably the hardest part, how to come back down those hills without losing control. Things like how do you pop a wheelie, which is always cool and fun, right?
Yeah, right.
So we work on those skills, and then we do some trail riding each night. And, we try and make sure that when we get back to the parking lot at the end of the night that all of the kids are, screaming, no, we want to go more, we want to go more.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you do that with, particularly with kids, they're going to want to keep going.
And when they're forever. In a group with other kids, it also increases the chemistry there, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. They always find those buddies that they want to ride with, or the people that they want to ride faster than.
Mm-hmm. When I was first starting to mountain bike, and I was definitely not a kid because it hadn't been invented yet. one of the things that I had to figure out was like how to stay on a narrow path, and how to like control your where you're looking, right? Don't look where you don't want to go. Look where you want to go.
Yep.
And I'm sure that must be something you're working with kids as well.
Yeah. Things like, point your eyes where you want to go. Don't watch your front tire. How to use the brakes properly, when to use the front brake and the back brake, how to feather them. Every year we've got usually one or two kids that will grab that front brake really hard and go over their handlebars. They'll, scrape their elbows, cry a little bit, but usually they end up getting right back on the bike, and they're the ones that then push forward, with the next group and take off. It's like once you have that accident and you realize it hurts for a little bit, then they just go for it.
Yeah, hopefully it's not too big a deal.
Right. Yep.
Although I think that probably winter biking and cross-country skiing are safer than summer biking, right? Because a nice soft snow to fall on.
Sometimes.
Yeah, it depends on the ice. I've had some crazy crashes on the ice, yeah. You just
one
keep
thing
sliding.
That I really like about the summer kids program as well is the kids just pick it up so fast. And it's amazing to watch. We have this class all of June and July. And the first week or two when we're really just focusing on let's try to climb this hill without getting off and pushing turns into by the end of July riding incredibly technical trails, and just watching the progression and the skills increase over a short amount of time is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and being able to, the first couple of weeks we try and keep them all in on the Matsu trails. By the end, many of the groups, the upper groups, will go all the way up to Crevasse Moraine and back, which is nearly 12 miles of very technical trail up in the north part. And then all of the connector trails are cross-country ski trails, so very steep ups and downs. And it's amazing to watch how quickly they progress.
That's awesome. So it sounds like your club is really active and has a lot going on. How long have you guys been at this? I mean, how, like, and It seems this could be my Anchorage-centric perception, but it seems like some of the information networks in the valley are a little bit more diffuse. You know, sort of like getting people in touch might be a little harder than it is like in town. Yeah. Is that true? I mean, you're nodding.
So I've been up in the valley now for 3.5 years, going mm-hmm. on 4 years. And so I think when I first moved up there, it did feel very disconnected. But then once you meet people that are kind of interested in the things that you're interested mm-hmm. in,
right.
Like for me, it was Tony, the owner of the bike shop. You know, I went in, had to buy something, struck up a conversation. Next thing I know, he's tagging me to get involved with Vimba. Mm-hmm. So once you know the people, then it's like suddenly you have this huge group of people that you run into all the time, and then it becomes very easy to stay connected and involved. But yeah, I think it is maybe a little bit more challenging to find that group initially.
Yeah. Cody, any thoughts on that?
Well, it is such a large area, and I'm relatively new as well. My wife and I moved to the valley in November of 2014 from Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's a great cycling community up there.
It's a wonderful community. There's great communities all over the state, which we just have a really fantastic state for people who love to be outdoors and love mm-hmm. to be on bikes. And, you know, the valley, as you said, it encompasses, you know, up to Talkeetna. So,
right.
you know, you can find these little pockets, and sometimes you do get dialed into the group that's maybe closest to you in you know, where you live. Since we live close to Palmer, we're very familiar with the Palmer folks. But if you go towards Wasilla or other places, and one thing that I've really enjoyed is the events that are put on, and Vimba sponsors several events over the course of the summer.
Yeah, why don't you spin a couple of those off so people know about them?
Sure. So we have a trail run series in the fall that we do. The Sprott Kids program is one event that brings in people from all over, and that's of course a class that runs throughout the summer. We have trail building days, volunteer days. What am I missing?
Let's see. This year we're starting a more of a road-centric race that's going to start as part of Colony Days, going from downtown Palmer to the Butte on bike, and then some running aspect that involves going up the Butte and possibly down, and then biking back to town.
Cool.
So we've got we've got new events that we're trying mm-hmm. to get brought in as well, trying to get more, you know, kind of road bikers and maybe fewer mountain bikers. And I don't know why we would do that, mm-hmm. but
well, yeah. in the event,
and it's all about just you guys are enthusiasts and you're trying to get together and do stuff, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Absolutely. And it brings people together from all over the valley. And it's, you know, these sort of things that bring people into a central location. You meet people, and I know the trails out to the Kinnick Glacier very well, but I mm-hmm. don't know the trails over at Big Lake all that well. And talking to people from different areas gets you a chance to pick somebody else's brain who knows the trails really well in their backyard, and you can learn from that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really cool. I'm really glad to see this kind of stuff bubbling up out mm-hmm. there. And it's also, as I think about it, you guys are both young, at least relative to me, and fairly recent, but you're like running the club. So in an area like this, like there's always opportunity for people to get involved and do stuff. And
absolutely.
Sounds like, and I'm sure you guys have a Facebook or a webpage that we can link to from outdoorexplorer.org.
Yeah.
All right.
Vimba, VMBAH.org is the mm-hmm. Website, and then we do have a Facebook page as well.
Cool. We'll make sure we've got those on our page. And thanks to both of you, Phil Block and Cody Johnson. Thanks for being with us there with Valley Mountain Bikers and Hikers. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. It's been a really interesting show for Outdoor Explorer. Earlier on, we heard from Chris Wilson and Adam Mugley from the Chugach Mountain Bike Riders. And we also heard from Steve Cleary from Alaska Trails. Our producer is Eric Bork. Our assistant producer who set up the show today is Hannah Duro. My name is Charles Wolforth. I'll see you outside.
Outdoor Explorer is a production of KSKA Public Radio in Anchorage, Alaska. Theme music is by Portugal the Man. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect the station or its underwriters. You can find Outdoor Explorer on Facebook and on iTunes. To see what's coming up on Outdoor Explorer and add your voice to the conversation, go to our website at alaskapublic.org.
Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.